Right now, the global fear index is screaming panic. I mean, people are literally fleeing to perceived safety.
Oh, absolutely. The sentiment is incredibly grim out there.
But you know, the crazy thing is, global stocks haven't actually dropped, and Bitcoin, it's actually up over 6% this week.
Yeah, the disconnect is wild.
It really is. So, welcome to today's custom tailored deep dive. It is Saturday, March 14th, 2026, and we are looking at an absolutely fascinating stack of research today.
We really are. We've got this comprehensive AI-supported weekly finance market report.
Right. And our mission for you today is singular. We need to decode this massive disconnect happening in the financial world right this second.
Because there's a huge gap between human panic and actual hard market data.
Exactly. We are going to abstract the most critical insights spanning global equities, real estate, crypto, and everyday personal finance, just so you can navigate this current landscape. So, okay, let's unpack this because looking at the headlines, you would honestly think the sky is falling.
It certainly feels that way to a lot of people. But, in a world of absolute information overload, the single most valuable skill you can cultivate is separating the noise from the signal.
That's a great way to put it.
And right now, the noise is deafening. But the signal, it's telling a very different story.
Yeah, the disconnect is just glaring when you look at the broad market sentiment. I mean, take the CNN Fear and Greed Index.
Right, which essentially measures what emotion is driving the market.
Exactly. And it's practically glowing red right now. It is flashing extreme fear at a score of 19.97 out of 100.
Wow, that's low.
Yeah, it's its lowest point in over a week. And what's crazy is that just a month ago, around early March, maybe March 5th, we were sitting in extreme greed.
Right, people were euphoric just weeks ago.
Totally euphoric. But here is the paradox, the absolute crazy contradiction in the data. Despite this sheer palpable panic in the sentiment index, the MSCI World Index, the benchmark for global equities, is incredibly stable.
It's holding up remarkably well.
It is. It's hovering right around 111.87 euros, just experiencing normal fluctuations, staying within a super tight, boring band of 111.36 to 114.63.
So the foundation is holding firm.
Exactly. Now, the Nasdaq 100 is showing a bit more weakness, dropping down to around 1401.4 US dollars.
Which signals some rotation out of the tech sector.
Sure, yeah. But there is absolutely no free fall happening across the board. The way I see it, it's like you're sitting in an airplane.
Okay, I like this analogy.
Right. You look at the altitude dial on the dashboard representing the actual corporate earnings and market structure, and it's perfectly steady. The plane is flying flat and level.
Smooth sailing.
Exactly. But inside the cockpit, the turbulence alarm is just screaming at top volume. So if the plane is flying flat, who's hitting the panic button?
Right. Well, what's fascinating here is that this exact scenario, the screaming alarm while the plane flies level, is the textbook definition of a contrarian opportunity.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Well, when we look under the hood of that fear and greed index, we see the VIX spiking to 30.4.
And the VIX is essentially the market's expectation of future turbulence, right?
Exactly. At the same time, demand for junk bonds, which is risky corporate debt, is absolutely plummeting. Investors are fleeing to cash or perceived safety. They are in a state of shock paralysis.
Meaning they aren't necessarily dumping their high-quality core assets, which is why the MSCI world is stable, but they're terrified to make a new move.
Bingo. They are pricing in the fear of a drop rather than an actual drop. The passengers are panicking because they're staring at dark clouds on the horizon instead of trusting the instruments right in front of them.
Which is such a human reaction.
It is. But historically, for you as an investor, buying quality broad market assets during these specific extreme fear phases often yields the absolute best long-term results.
Because you're buying when the perceived risk is highest, but the structural risk is actually low.
Exactly. You get the discount without the actual crash.
Okay, so if the mathematical foundation is fine, why are people staring at those dark clouds?
That's the billion-dollar question.
Right. And it comes down to the stories we're telling each other, specifically the geopolitical rumors circulating online right now.
Ah, yes. The YouTube finance space is buzzing.
It really is. There's a theory gaining massive traction from financial YouTuber Mario Lochner. He's been analyzing the ongoing Iran conflict and its ripple effects on oil and global markets.
And his theory is very specific.
Super specific, he posits that a late March meeting between Donald Trump and Xi Jinping could lead to a massive diplomatic de-escalation. And he thinks that will spark a literal mega rally in the markets in April.
That is a very bold prediction regarding global diplomacy.
It is. And actually, before we dig into the mechanics of that, we really need to be crystal clear with you, the listener.
Absolutely. This is crucial.
We are impartially unpacking the geopolitical theories presented in our source material today. We are not endorsing any political viewpoints, parties, or specific figures at all.
No. Our only job here is to analyze how these circulating narratives might affect your money. We're looking at the market mechanics, not the politics.
Right. So looking at those mechanics, I mean, I have to push back on this idea a bit.
Go for it.
Isn't banking on an April mega rally based entirely on diplomatic theater just, you know, wishful thinking? I mean, isn't trying to time a market rally based on when politicians decide to have a meeting incredibly risky for a regular investor?
Incredibly risky.
Honestly, right? It's often a fool's errand to trade on headlines.
Because diplomatic theater rarely translates to guaranteed stock returns.
Exactly. And the source material highlights a really great counter perspective to Lochner's view through another analyst, Christian Fuchs.
Right. I saw that. What's his take?
Fuchs argues that armed conflicts and geopolitical shocks, well, while they're tragic and they totally dominate the news cycle, they rarely impact long-term market trajectories.
Because the underlying businesses just keep functioning regardless of who is shaking hands on television.
Yes. Fuchs emphasizes a principle that every investor needs to internalize, which is productive capital.
Productive capital. Okay, right. Stocks represent ownership in real companies, making real goods and providing real services. That is the ultimate source of value creation over decades.
It survives political administrations. It survives crises.
Precisely. The mechanism of wealth creation doesn't stop because of a headline. So Fuchs's point is that your best defense isn't trying to time a sudden political de-escalation in April.
It's just staying invested.
Yes, holding a diversified global portfolio and maintaining enough liquid cash reserves so that you're never forced to sell during a panic. You ignore the political shock and focus on the productive asset.
Okay, let's say we completely mute the political noise then. If we ignore the politicians, we have to look at the actual economic scorecards. And here's where it gets really interesting.
The macro data.
Yeah, the country analysis. When we look at the data across the globe, this massive split personality emerges.
There's a huge divergence.
It is. The U.S. economy is showing classic textbook signs of a soft landing. Inflation is stable, right around 2.4 to 2.5%. Consumer spending is actually resilient. And if you look at the NFIB Small Business Index, which is essentially the pulse of Main Street, it dips slightly to 98.80, but it's holding remarkably strong.
The U.S. is being incredibly resilient compared to the rest of the world right now.
It really is, because then you look at Europe, and Europe is legitimately struggling.
Yeah, the numbers there aren't great.
No. Investor confidence in Europe through the Sentix Index is firmly pessimistic at -3.10. Overall, industrial production fell by 1.5%. And Germany is just the perfect illustration of this weird economic split right now.
The German data is fascinating.
It's wild. On one hand, German industrial production dropped 0.5%. The factories are visibly slowing down. But on the other hand, the German trade surplus surprisingly jumped to 21.2 billion euros.
It seems like a typo, right?
Yeah, wait, I literally need to stop you there. Germany's factories are slowing down, production dropped. It makes zero mathematical sense that their trade surplus jumped by billions. Are the numbers just wrong?
It sounds totally contradictory, I know. But if we break down the mechanics of a trade surplus, it makes perfect sense.
Okay, walk me through it.
So a trade surplus is simply exports minus imports. Now, the U.S. is currently being heavily insulated by its energy independence. Because they produce their own energy, they aren't as vulnerable to global oil shocks.
Which makes them an economic safe haven.
Right. U.S. consumers are still spending. Meanwhile, Europe is fighting high energy costs and internal slowdowns.
So internal demand inside Germany basically collapsed.
Yes. German citizens and businesses are importing way less because energy costs are just eating their budgets. At the same time, China isn't riding to the rescue as a buyer.
Right, because China's producer price index is actually deflationary at -0.9%.
Exactly. They have their own massive internal demand issues. So, going back to Germany, how do they have a huge trade surplus while factories slow down?
Because imports dropped off a cliff.
You got it. Imports dropped faster than exports. They're still successfully exporting their high-value specialized goods to places like the U.S. that are still spending freely.
Wow. So it is a surplus born out of internal weakness, not external strength.
Exactly. And for you, the listener, this is the ultimate validation of why you hold a broad, multi-regional ETF like the MSCI World.
Because you're hedged.
Right. While Europe struggles with internal demand and China deflates, the U.S. consumer and energy independents are carrying the weight of the global economy. Your diversified portfolio self-balances against these regional weaknesses automatically.
That structural self-balancing is just so cool to see in action. Okay, so global macroeconomic data, especially this persistent inflation we see, directly dictates domestic interest rates.
It does.
And that brings us to a sector that everyone feels viscerally, real estate. Or as the report calls it, baton gold, concrete gold.
Yes. This is where macro theory hits the reality of your monthly budget.
Truly. There is a highly actionable warning in the source data here regarding the mechanics of mortgages.
Yeah, the Bund yield data.
Right. The 10-year German Bund yield just jumped from 2.85% to 2.95% in a single week.
Which is a significant move.
It's a huge move. Think of the Bund yield as the benchmark, the wholesale price banks pay for money. Right now, that wholesale price is spiking. Yet the top 10-year retail mortgage rates offered to consumers are still sitting around 3.6%.
They haven't adjusted yet.
No. To me, visualizing the spread, which is currently only 0.65%, well below the 12-week average of almost 0.9%, it's like the banks are holding a heavy iron door open for us right now.
I love that visual.
Right. They are absorbing the weight of these rising wholesale borrowing costs on their end to keep retail mortgages attractive, but their arms are getting tired.
That heavy door analogy perfectly explains the mechanism at play, because the bank's profit buffer is essentially gone. They cannot absorb that wholesale cost forever.
So the door is going to slam shut.
It is. What this data tells us objectively is that retail mortgage rates will almost certainly rise in the next 1 to 2 weeks to restore that historical profitable spread for the banks.
Wow. So the application for the listener is incredibly urgent.
Very urgent. If you are in the market to buy a home within the next 3 months, you need to lock in that 3.6% rate immediately. Do not wait for it to get better, because the underlying wholesale bond market guarantees it's going to get worse.
And what if you already own a home?
If you are a homeowner who needs to refinance in the next 36 months, you should really look into getting a forward loan right now. A forward loan allows you to pay a small premium today to secure today's rates for your future refinancing needs.
Because it's better to lock in the terms when the spread is this tight, rather than gamble on where the wholesale price of money will be in 3 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's one more piece of crucial context in the real estate data. House prices have stabilized. The EPX index is sitting at 220.03, basically flat.
Which means the wild speculative bidding war bubble of a few years ago has evaporated.
Right. The market is rational again. Which means interest rates are now the sole battleground for affordability.
Manage the interest rate and you manage the asset.
Precisely.
Well, which brings us to an asset class that is the exact opposite of rational right now.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, because we've talked about traditional equities holding steady and real estate reacting predictably to wholesale interest rates. Mm-hmm. But there is one asset class completely defying its own internal metrics right now, and that is crypto.
The great anomaly of this week's data.
It really is. Let's look at the Bitcoin numbers. Bitcoin is sitting around 61,562 euros. That is up over 6% in just a single week.
And the volume is massive.
Massive. We're talking over 53 billion euros traded on March 13th alone. But here is the kicker. The crypto fear and greed index is completely paralyzed.
It's barely moving.
It has a score of 16. That is extreme fear. And it hasn't broken above a score of 25 in over a month. So I just don't get the math here. How can an asset grow by over 6% with tens of billions changing hands if its core community is supposedly terrified? Who is actually doing all this buying?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's a fascinating study in the psychology of a lagging indicator.
Okay, explain that.
The people driving that 53 billion in volume are not the everyday retail investors participating in sentiment surveys.
Ah, so it's institutional money moving in the shadows.
Yes, the price action is showing real technical strength. We're looking at a steady 7-week recovery from the lows. But retail investor psychologies, the deep trauma of previous brutal crypto crashes, is trailing far behind the actual price.
So the average retail investor is still stuck in survival mode, convinced that any upward movement is a trap.
Exactly. They don't buy. While the big money quietly accumulates the asset. And this raises an important point for you, the listener.
Which is?
When price recovers structurally, but sentiment remains in extreme fear, it presents a textbook dollar cost averaging, or DCA, opportunity.
Because the mechanism of DCA buying a set dollar amount every single week or month, regardless of the price, just completely removes the emotion from the equation.
Right. You don't dump your life savings in today, but you consistently accumulate. Because the biggest risk right now isn't necessarily a sudden crash. The biggest risk is missing the early phase of a silent recovery while the masses are too scared to act.
You want to be accumulating on the train before the crowd realizes it's already left the station.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've gone from global geopolitics to institutional crypto mechanics. I want to bring all this high-level theory down to the ground for the listener.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about tactical wealth building for everyday life. Pulling from the stay up-to-date section of the report, this is the stuff you can literally take action on during your lunch break.
Because the practical application of all this macro theory is where actual wealth is built.
Absolutely. So, first up, the ETF millionaire math. We constantly hear the advice, you know, just invest in a broad market ETF and you'll eventually be a millionaire.
Right, the classic advice.
Well, the report ran the actual mathematical models. To reach 1 million euros by age 67, assuming you start at age 40 with 100,000 euros already saved, you mathematically need to save 657 euros a month.
Which sounds doable for some.
But wait, that is before the tax man visits. When you account for taxes, you actually need to save 874 euros a month to hit a net of 1 million.
Ouch, that's a huge difference.
It is. Wait, so I have to save over 200 extra euros a month just to cover taxes on an ETF.
Yeah, that's the mechanical reality of taxes, specifically things like the German advance lump sum tax. It essentially taxes your paper gains every year. It physically removes cash from your compounding machine before you ever sell a single share.
Wow, so calculating gross versus net isn't just an accounting trick. It dictates your entire retirement lifestyle.
It really does.
Okay, next practical scenario. Private health insurance, or PKV. Premiums just jumped by an average of 13% across the board.
That is a painful hit to the monthly budget.
Right. And the immediate emotional reaction is to want to switch providers out of spite to find a cheaper rate. But the report's hack. Don't do it.
Yeah, switching providers in the private system is often a catastrophic financial mistake.
Because of how age reserves function, right?
Exactly. When you pay into private health insurance in your younger years, you're paying a premium higher than your actual statistical health risk. That extra money goes into your age reserves, which the company invests to subsidize your premiums when you're older.
So if you get mad at a 13% hike and switch to a new insurance company, you legally leave a massive chunk of that invested bucket behind.
Yes, you start over. The defensive strategy here is an internal tariff switch. By law, your current provider has to allow you to switch to a different, potentially cheaper plan within their own portfolio.
So you force them to give you a better rate, but you legally retain 100% of your accumulated age reserves.
Exactly. It's about knowing the rules of the game better than the house does.
I love that. And speaking of rules, here is a hidden administrative trap that honestly blew my mind. General power of attorney.
Oh, this is a big one.
Right. You think you have your affairs in order. You draft an ironclad document giving a trusted family member general power of attorney in case of a medical emergency. You assume they can manage your finances, but for bank depots, your investment accounts, it is often completely useless.
Yeah, think about the liability mechanics from the bank's perspective.
Yeah.
They operate in a regulatory environment driven by massive liability fears.
Mm-hmm.
If they accept a general outside legal document, and it turns out to be contested by another family member, the bank is on the hook.
So they just blanket reject them? They require their own specific internal forms to grant access to your portfolio?
Yes. And if you don't physically go in and fill out the bank's specific proprietary paperwork while you are healthy, your family might be entirely locked out of managing your portfolio during a severe emergency.
While the market is crashing, that is an administrative nightmare that just compounds a personal tragedy.
It really is. And honestly, it perfectly encapsulates the core theme of today's analysis. You have immense, tangible power to protect your wealth, regardless of what the global fear indices say.
Right. Financial resilience is built in the granular details.
Exactly. It's about understanding liability mechanics to fill out the right bank forms, or moving cash today to secure a 3.2% yield on a Tagescale daily access savings account while interest rates are still briefly elevated.
Or even just signing the petition mentioned in the report to cap government-sponsored retirement account fees at 0.5% instead of 1.5%.
Yes, because as we just learned with the tax drag, a 1% fee difference over 30 years isn't just a rounding error. It physically robs you of tens of thousands of euros and loss compound interest.
Focus entirely on what you can control.
Yeah.
I love that. Ignore the geopolitical theater and manage the mechanics of your own capital.
Exactly.
All right, let's bring this plan in for a landing. We have covered a massive amount of ground today.
We really have.
So what is the ultimate takeaway? The market feels like it's crashing because the turbulence alarm in the cockpit is screaming. The fear and greed index is practically at zero. But the altitude dial, the actual corporate earnings and structural data proves the market is just consolidating its gains.
The MSCI world is holding perfectly steady.
Right. And between the imminent mortgage rate hikes closing the door on cheap retail borrowing and the stealth, institutionally driven crypto recovery happening while everyday investors are too traumatized to look, the emotional investor loses right now.
They absolutely do.
But the disciplined, informed listener you wins by understanding the mechanics behind the curtain and sticking to the plan.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And I actually want to leave you with one final thought to mull over as you watch the markets this coming week.
Oh, let's hear it.
We've talked extensively today about how extreme fear is freezing retail capital on the sidelines while traditional productive sectors hold steady. But ask yourself this. What happens to global liquidity and your own portfolio when the massive tech sector, which has been taking a slight breather and pushing the NASDAQ down, decides that the fear is officially over and aggressively re-enters a broad market that is already fundamentally sound?
Wow.
Yeah. It's something to think about as you watch the NASDAQ this week.
Because when that sidelined institutional cash decides the water is warm and floods back in, you want your seatbelt fastened, but you want to trust the altitude dial, not the flashing red lights in the cockpit.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep your head cool, keep your savings plans running on autopilot, and we'll see you next time.